Our reading today is from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 25, which can be found on page 1101 of the Church Bibles. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was giving at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as we come to hear God speak to us in his word, let's pray. Father God, thank you that as the Bible is read and preached and reflected on, thank you that we hear your voice to us. And thank you, Father, that your voice to us is a voice of love and a voice of care. So, Father, please, in these words, please would you help us to know more of your love for us, know more of your care for us, so that we might love to live for you in the week and in the weeks ahead. For Jesus' glory we pray. Amen. As a church family thinking today about mission in around the world, but also as a church family thinking in the next couple of weeks about the particular opportunities for mission that there is here in Maidenhead and in the surrounding areas with the real lives at the end of that opportunity at the end of the month. I wonder what for you, as you think about ministry, as you think about reaching out, I wonder what for you feel like the roadblocks that you bump into as you think about moving out with the gospel, as you think about moving out. I wonder what the roadblocks can be for you. Sometimes it's people unlike us. People totally different from us. You sit there and you think, you see, maybe it's a part of the town that you drive past, and you think, wow, what? I mean, I wouldn't even know my way around that community, let alone how to speak to people in that community, let alone how to tell those people about Jesus. Maybe it's people unlike you. Or it could be people really close to you. Yeah? Okay, look, send me to that place. Send me to the other side of the world. But my father-in-law, no, that's going to be a step too far. Or my son, or my wife, or my... People close to us sometimes can be the hardest people to speak to about Jesus. I wonder, as you think about moving out with the gospel, what for you are those roadblocks? And as you think about those challenges, those blocks, those barriers that there might seem to be to the message about the Lord Jesus, we come to this moment in the story of God's church here in Acts, which shows us how the message about the Lord Jesus breaks through. We're jumping into the middle of the unfolding story of Jesus' church as it takes root and spreads around the world. And as we meet this moment, chapter 8, so if you've got your Bibles, page 1101, shows us what happens then so that we as God's people now can know what happens when the gospel breaks through. Let's take a look at this story as it unfolds, this moment in history as it unfolds, because it shows us what happens, how the gospel can break through. And as the events unfold, the first thing we see is for the gospel to break through, it's the work of the one, the same message about Jesus. It's the same gospel that breaks through barriers wherever they're encountered. What we must remember is that we break through, the power we need to break through is the message about the Lord Jesus. The same message that we have already heard is the message for us to share wherever we are and whoever we're with. Take a look at how that happens in these moments in Acts chapter 8. There's a persecution in Jerusalem. Those first Christians who heard about the Lord Jesus there in Jerusalem find themselves facing desperate oppression, and they're scattered, verse 1, they're scattered throughout the region. But look at what happens as they're scattered, as they're escaping, and as they're fleeing. Verse 4, those who are scattered, what do they do, verse 4? They preach the word. And then we zoom in, we meet Philip, verse 5. He goes to Samaria down, up the road from Jerusalem. And what does he do when he gets to Samaria? The same thing. He proclaimed Jesus when he got there. We see him again, verse 12. Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus, wherever they went, these Christians preached that same message. That message they heard was the message that they shared. At the start of Acts, in his last words to his disciples, Jesus tells them that he promises them that they will proclaim his name in Jerusalem, where they are, in Judea, the surroundings, and Samaria, up until the ends of the earth. And the story of Acts is the story of each of those barriers being broken, each of those barriers falling like dominoes as the message about Jesus spreads from Jerusalem, like at the start of Acts 8, to Judea as the Christians are scattered, to the ends of the earth, to Samaria and the ends of the earth beyond. And at each point, it's the same message about the Lord Jesus that breaks through barriers in each and every one of those places. And we know it's the same message about Jesus because wherever it's preached, it has exactly the same effect. We see the same gospel with the same effect wherever God's people go. So in Jerusalem and Judea, we see that this message about Jesus, on the one hand, it provokes opposition. But on the other hand, it brings transformation. Just look at that scene, that sort of scene of suffering and sadness that we begin with in Jerusalem in the start of chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. So there's persecution in chapter 1, in verse 1. There's mourning in verse 2 as a Christian leader, having been executed and killed, is mourned and buried. Verse 3, a desperate scene as families are broken up, as lives are torn apart, and people are dragged into prison. There's desperate persecution and opposition. But there's also a beautiful scene of transformation. Just as God's enemies intend to destroy his people, God uses those plans to build his people. Instead of destroying the church, this is how God's church grows and spreads. Verse 4, God's people are scattered and preaching. And look at what happens in verse 8. They reach Samaria, whereas Jerusalem was a place filled with suffering and mourning. Look at what happens in Samaria in verse 8. So there was great joy in that city. This message about the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem has brought persecution, but also transformation. We see that in Jerusalem and Judea. We see the same thing happening in Samaria. Now, I probably should have mentioned this before. Samaria in these times, Samaria, the grotty neighbors down the road. Now, I'm not going to ask you where that is or who that is in your community. But I imagine that you can think of a part of town, an area, maybe you are that neighbor actually, who you just think, it's just a horrible place to be. And if you're living in Jerusalem and Judea, literally you don't go there. You'd rather do a massive detour to avoid Samaria. And now those Christians find themselves, because of being in exile, because of the persecution, they find themselves with nowhere left to go except for grotty Samaria. And just look at what it's like. Verse 9, we kind of find that opposition as soon as they land there. They land in this sort of cultic, occult, dark city. Verse 9, in Samaria, there was this man for some time, a man named Simon, had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. The Christians land there, they find themselves confronted by this horrible darkness. They probably think, typical Samaria, that it would have someone like Simon there. This horrible figure who seems to have Samaria in his grip. People, verse 10, giving him attention, following him, verse 11. Opposition. It seems so unlikely that the message about the Lord Jesus would take root there. Opposition, but at the same time, transformation. Look at the way things again are turned on their heads. People hear the message about the Lord Jesus. They believed the message of Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. And verse 13, Simon, who everybody had been following, now people, and including Simon, are following Jesus as they're listening to Philip and his message about Jesus. The message about Jesus, this same message in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the same message with the same effect wherever they go. It could be quite disorientating moving to a different country. And where we lived for our first year had a T-junction. And as we arrived at this T-junction, we're confronted by this sign, right? There and there. No left turn. No right turn, and then an explanation in Spanish. So you can imagine us in our first months trying to work out what that means and what we do and where we go. And for me, this road sign sums up a little bit about what it was like for us in our first little while in Chile. Just that disorientation of, no left, no right. Where do we go? What do we do? How do we make sense of it all? And it was wonderful to meet our church family. And you can't read the little banner. This is our church weekend away. And it describes who we are. Cristo Redentor, Christ the Redeemer. And it says, little motto, we are a church that seeks to grow as a family proclaiming Christ and planting churches. And it was wonderful to be different language, different culture, same Lord Jesus, same message about the Lord Jesus. And Chileans, in some ways, now as a culture, as a place, as a church, are facing a similar sort of confusion that I think we felt, that sense of those two road signs, which way do I go? Recently, you may have seen it in the news, there have been protests in Chile, lots of anger, lots of violence, and a bunch of it directed at the church. You'll see the picture there of a church. I walk past this every day going into SEP. That is 2 months ago was a beautiful tourist attraction, and now it's been covered in graffiti and gutted by an arson attack. Because there's a sort of anger and disillusionment at the church. On the one hand, seeing the Catholic Church blighted by abuse scandals. Protestant churches are assumed to be exploiting and preying on the poor. And Christians who really love the Lord Jesus find themselves sort of like those two road signs, going, yeah, but which way, how do I speak, what do I say? And there seems to be lots of confusion. And what the Christians trusted in Samaria, what Chileans need to hear in Chile at the moment, and what we need to know here in Maidenhead, as we think about real lives, as we think about our mission and ministry here, is that to break through those barriers, we need that same gospel. And so the question is not, can the gospel break through? Because it can and does. The question is, am I willing to keep faithful to that message of the Lord Jesus? Am I willing to face the opposition? But am I expectant and trusting that this message can bring the most extraordinary transformation? Now, it may be that you're tracking with me so far that you think, okay, yes, I am willing, I am expectant. I do want to move out with that simple message of Jesus. You might have the question, yeah, but what happens when I get there? When we break through those boundaries, what do we find on the other side? As we proclaim the same gospel, and as that same gospel breaks through boundaries, what do we find on the other side of those boundaries? And what we see in Acts 8 is that when we preach the same gospel, what we're going to find on the other side is the same church. The same church. It's a church formed by the gospel. We see that verses 14 to 17. Just see what happens, what unfolds in Samaria as that same message about the Lord Jesus is preached. We find the church formed by the one same gospel. So apostles in Jerusalem, the people overseeing the church family as it grows and spreads, they hear that the Samaritans, that what had the Samaritans done? That they had accepted, verse 14, the word of God. It was a church formed by the same message about the Lord Jesus. And so they send Peter and John down to them. You can almost imagine them hearing the news. People in Samaria trusting this message. The Samaritan. Better send our top guys to check out what really is going on. And sure enough, Peter and John turn up and see that there are Christians there. And as they pray for them, we see that these same church family that have received the word of the Lord Jesus receive the same Holy Spirit. When God poured out his Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, he was marking out one people from the whole world who were trusting in his one message about his one son. And that pouring out of the Holy Spirit is God's way of saying, these are my people because they belong to my son. And that happened in Acts chapter 2. And as the message about the Lord Jesus breaks through barriers throughout Acts, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then Europe at the ends of the earth, at each of those points, those key markers, it's a bit like aftershocks of the one big earthquake as God's Holy Spirit marks the people and says, yes, in Samaria, yes, at the ends of the earth, they are part of my one people. As the Holy Spirit comes on them in verse 15 and 16 and 17 and 15 to 17, it's not to show that there are two stages of the Christian life. It's not to show that there are sort of two kinds of Christian. It's to show the opposite. It's to show that there is one church marked by the one Holy Spirit as we believe in that one message about the Lord Jesus. This is a church formed by the gospel. But interestingly, as we break through those barriers, see that church forged by the message of the Lord Jesus, we see that it's a church sustained, a church that needs the message about the Lord Jesus, the church that needs that same gospel. We met Simon a moment ago, Simon who extraordinarily heard the message about the Lord Jesus. You could just imagine Philip saying, Peter and John have come down. And he said, you've got it. You won't believe what's happened in Samaria. Even the Samaritans have come to know Jesus. And look, meet this guy, Simon. You imagine how encouraged he would be by Simon. He would say, guys, meet Simon. He used to be this like head sorcerer. Now he's like my most encouraging assistant. Meet Simon. And Simon sees Peter and John. He sees the Holy Spirit. And he gets completely the wrong end of the stick. Just look at how much Simon misunderstands what's going on here. Verse 18, Simon saw the Spirit was given at laying on of the apostles' hands. So he offered them money and said, oh, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, you can imagine how Philip felt at this moment. It's kind of, oh no. Like all that hard work, all that encouragement. And Simon doesn't understand it at all. Rather than knowing that God's Holy Spirit is God himself giving himself to his people in love, he treats the Holy Spirit as if it's some power that can be manipulated for profit. So what are Peter and John and Philip going to do in this moment? I guess what they could do is think to themselves, typical Samaria, right? I knew we should never have wasted our time with these guys. It's too dark. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Let's move on. They could have given up on Samaria. They could have given up on the gospel. Like, well, of course we couldn't make inroads into Samaria with this simple message about Jesus. I knew we had to try something else. I knew it was too simple, too good to be true. But what's interesting is how Peter reacts. He doesn't give up on Samaria. He doesn't give up on the gospel. What he does is simply preach the gospel again. It's really interesting how he speaks to him. Verse 20, don't get me wrong. He's pretty honest. He's pretty blunt. But verse 22, he says to Simon, repent of this wickedness and pray. Pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. When he hears Simon say those, show that he just hasn't understood, he simply proclaims the same message, that same message, calling him to turn away from his sin, calling him to cast himself on the Lord Jesus for forgiveness. That church formed by the gospel is a church that needs to be sustained by the gospel. And that's what we see really is the role of CEP in Chile. We long for to be raising up Christian leaders who entrust themselves to that same message about Jesus, who drink deeply of that message about the Lord Jesus, that call to repentance and trust, that understand it, that apply it to their own hearts, and seek to share it with those around them, who will remain faithful to that message, who won't give up on people, who won't give up on Jesus, but instead keep trusting that message of the Lord Jesus to do the work of the Lord Jesus wherever they find themselves. And that's our prayer for us here in Maidenhead as well. That like the church in Samaria, like the church in Chile, that we know that this church family is a church family forged by the good news about Jesus. But it's also a church family that needs to keep remembering, keep being sustained by, keep returning to that same message about the Lord Jesus. And just look at how Peter and John, what they do as they head back to Jerusalem. Wherever they go, whoever they meet, verse 25, they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So when I think about going forward with the gospel, what are those roadblocks? The people near me, people close to me, or the people unlike me? Whatever I face, we know that it's the one same gospel that will break through those barriers. And as we break through those barriers, we can be confident that the Lord Jesus is building that one same church, that church that began in Jerusalem, spread through through Judea to Samaria, and has extended to Chile, and has reached even the ends of the earth here in Maidenhead and the people around us. Let's pray that that would be so. Let's take a moment to pray now.